You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Everyone needs to have a sense of security. People, however, look for it in the wrong places.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, our Father, you know our wants, and you sense our fears before we express them. Plant the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, within us, and make it grow with the sunshine of your kindness, your forgiveness, your life, overcoming fear and disappointment, drawing out our despair, and giving us the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name and at his direction, we pray to you. Amen. People are curious. I do not mean that they are funny, just curious. They're curious about the world in which they live, curious even about themselves. People who are not curious have lost some of the zest of living. I was preparing this talk in Portland, Oregon, just having crossed the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast. Coming into the airport at Portland, I happened upon one of those rare and beautiful days when one can see for 100 miles from a high-flying plane. Off to the south lay the Sisters, great volcanic mountains covered with snow in the early springtime. Immediately to our left, there was the magnificent pinnacle of Mount Hood. To the right lay Mount St. Helens, which has become famous all over the world for the tremendous eruption a short time ago that dropped ash over the states of Washington and Oregon, not to speak about hundreds of miles of mountains and farmland beyond. As we came alongside Mount Hood, nobody was interested in this tremendous peak. Everybody was looking at Mount St. Helens, just as if it were going to explode again. People had looked at nothing during the whole trip, but they wanted to see Mount St. Helens. People are curious. They're also funny when you think about it. They are curious about almost anything, but not about a fact that invites and demands their curiosity. People are interested in flowers, trees, and stars. They watch television programs about reptiles, birds, and fish. They're fascinated by the depths of the sea and by the reaches of outer space. They search for hidden treasure in sunken ships. They explore the sands of Egypt and try to uncover knowledge of past civilizations. They look for new sources of energy. They seek excitement in sports. They pay big money for new experiences and adventures. The greatest fact about themselves, the world they live in, and their own destiny, people pass by without a second thought. Taking note of this human disposition, as well as of the sad state of his own people, who had been taken into captivity in Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah addressed a letter to the priests, prophets, and leaders of the people, and to all the others whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylon. Speaking, as Jeremiah himself said, for the Most High God, Jeremiah comforted them to give them hope. I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me, because you will seek me with all your heart. Yes, I say, you will find me, and I will restore you to your land. There was not very much heart left in these people. Their curiosity had just about disappeared. The land they knew was no more, and the land to which they had come offered no hope. What they did in desperation was turn to soothsayers, fortune-tellers, and high-flying charlatans who always are ready to take the last drop of curiosity out of the lives of people, to take the last penny they have, and to squeeze the last drop of their blood with vain hopes. How many bored and unhappy people have you seen these days experimenting in the same ways to find some little satisfaction in life, some little hope by which to live? It could be that you're one of those who have turned to drugs and intoxicating liquors to fill the empty moments and days, or have someone close to you who has tried that route, found it wanting, and doesn't know what to do about it. People pay heavily for that kind of experimentation. Frustrated married people try extramarital affairs. A phenomenon of our time is the search of older people for happiness which they think has escaped them. Older people, married for decades, suddenly leave it all behind them, grasping for happiness that always seems to elude them. The Bible encourages people to search for happiness, to extend the search, and to go all the way. Not just part of the way, but all the way to God. The Bible encourages people to go beyond the creation, beyond things, and even beyond other people, to reach out and experience the Creator, the Redeemer of the world, God Himself. Jeremiah said to his people in Babylon, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jeremiah was not exactly popular in his own land. He urged his people to avoid the war that caused their downfall. He was accused, as an extant letter tells us, of destroying the will of the people to fight. That letter, from a subordinate commander writing to his commanding officer, called Jeremiah the one-eyed prophet. Actually, it was Jeremiah who had the two eyes, both functioning perfectly. He spoke for God, and people found his message boring, disquieting, and upsetting. Now they were in Babylon, desperately lonely and without any hope at all. Jeremiah wrote this letter to the people in Babylon, the king Jehoiakim, the king's mother, the palace officials, the leaders of Judah and of Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the skilled workmen, all taken into exile. He gave the letter to Elisha, whom King Zedekiah of Judah was sending to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those people whom he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what you grow in them. Marry and have children. Then let your children get married so that they also may have children. You must increase in numbers and do not decrease. Work for the good of the cities where I have made you go as prisoners. Pray to me on their behalf. Because if they are prosperous, you will be prosperous too. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, warn you not to let yourselves be deceived by the prophets who live among you or by any others who claim they can predict the future. Do not pay any attention to their dreams. They're telling you lies in my name. I did not send them. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken." The Lord says, when Babylon's 70 years are over, I will show my concern for you and keep my promise to bring you back home. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me, because you will seek me with all your heart. The Lord God does not want to bring disaster upon people. He wants to save them and help them. He does his best for them, and often they will not listen. Once in a while, only disaster will make people listen. Otherwise, they won't listen, even when it is for their own benefit, because they see no need for God. This must be a part of that hostility about which the Bible always speaks, the hostility of people toward God, their willingness to go their own way and their refusal to go his way, their outright contempt for God. God speaks, and they will not listen. Anybody else can speak, and they will listen. When God speaks, they will not listen. As history has often proved, man's extremity is God's opportunity. If that is true, this must be a time in history which is God's opportunity. It may be the moment in your life that proves to be God's opportunity. Young people have always been restless, not knowing or not sure what life is all about. Today, older people are restless too. Some abandon everything they have been and everything they have done, turning their backs on wives or husbands, turning away even from their own children, trying to discover who they really are, reaching to find out what life is all about. What is life all about? Is it just refrigerators and motor cars, electronic video games and fancy sport cars, beautiful homes and exciting vacations? Is that what life is really all about? Or is this what life is really all about? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If that question arrests you at this moment, I'm persuaded that the Spirit of God is touching your heart. He is doing that as he always has done through the Word of God. Don't draw back and run away. Whatever is wrong, God will correct. Whatever hurts there are, God can heal. Whatever problems there are, God can solve. Whatever emptiness there is, God can fill. The prophet had been hurt himself. He had felt the hurt more than anybody. No one knew the healing hand of God more than Jeremiah himself. He himself found healing and help in the mighty God, telling people about the grace and kindness of God, not put off by disaster, but dealing with disaster. The God of Jeremiah is the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, right into the world to endure the ultimate disaster that leaves for those who know not God no hope at all. Hope in God deals even with that disaster. God deals, and God heals. It's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. You need love. Everybody needs love. God loves. He loves with an everlasting love. He sends his Son to die for the sins of the world. And in his love, he raises his Son from the dead to be the living Lord in a dying world. Look at Jesus, and you see the love of God to you. Everyone needs to have a sense of security. People look for it, however, in the wrong places. They're dissatisfied and disappointed. Look to God. What you will see is Jesus, the brightness of God's splendor and the glory of God's power. Jesus has power to fulfill his promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. look to Jesus, and you find God. Look to Jesus, and you find love. Look to Jesus, and you find genuine security. Look to Jesus, and you discover strength. Not the strength you did not know you had, but the strength He has. He gives strength to overcome, no matter how bad you feel at the moment. Says God to you, I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me. You will come and pray to me, and I will answer you. You will seek me, and you will find me, because you will seek me with all your heart. Yes, I say, you will find me, and I will restore you. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That's the way God talks. That's the way God's Spirit is prompting you to act. It's an invitation to prayer, addressed to God Himself. It's the welcome voice of God coming to you in His Word. It's God's message, full of grace and kindness, of forgiveness and life, addressed to the whole world in His Son, Jesus Christ, and now addressed directly to you in the voice of His messenger, who needs the message just as much as you do. By His kindness, God calls you to repentance. By His grace, He gives you life eternal, all through faith in His Son, Jesus, crucified for the sins of the world and raised again from the dead to be the Savior of the world, all by the design of the great God, who says to you today, I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Call to me, come and pray to me, and I will answer you. Seek me, and you will find me. Seek me with all your heart. Yes, you will find me, and I will restore you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Yes, seek Him, and you will surely find Him, and will find rest for your soul. Amen.